I think that there are times when we are aware that God is up to something, and it gets confirmed by numerous things. And I've been in, I believe in that place that you just know that God is trying to teach us something that maybe we've grown so accustomed to, we take for granted, or we neglect. And that particular issue is the issue of the Lord's Supper, of communion. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning is just scratching the surface, and it might seem kind of random and all over the place, but I'm just going to share with you honestly where I believe we're at right now, not knowing how it will get fleshed out and filled out and what it'll look like or anything like that. But I feel like the issue of remembering the Lord at the Lord's table, what we call communion, can easily, or perhaps has easily, become a routine, a ritual. And so I have some questions about it. There's a couple of questions that I'll just touch on this morning is, Have we, as people of sort of the Protestant, evangelical, Western culture, have we overreacted to extremes on one side by going to the other? And the particular extreme I'm talking about is the extreme sort of interpretation of communion. It's got a big name. It's called transubstantiation, where the belief is that at a certain time, these elements of communion become something else. They become the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus. And so in a reaction to that, perhaps we've overreacted against that extreme, where it now has become just a ritual and a form, and they've become merely symbols and nothing more. I feel like, honestly, I'll just share with you, I honestly feel like that's what's happened with me. And I'll just tell you what, I'll just talk about what I believe is going on in me, and if it touches anything in you or you know, rings true, well, then that's great. But I'll just tell you, I think that's what's happened with me. And I've begun to examine if that's maybe what we've done, and we've done that with all kinds of things, all kinds of issues. It seems like for every road, you've heard me say this, for every road there's two ditches, right? We're either in one or the other. How often do we actually stay on the road? And we overreact to one thing by, you know, the pendulum swings, we go way over the other. I think that's one of the things that's happened with this meal. Second question I have is this, and this might seem like a strange one, but I don't know if you've ever asked this, but why are there two emblems? Why is there bread and wine? Why is there the emblem of the body of the Lord as well as that of the blood of the Lord Jesus? Why? Because if we're honest about it, I think that what we know is that the blood cleanses us and washes us. I mean, there's songs about it, about the power of the blood. But what about the bread? What about the body of the Lord Jesus? Not too many songs about that. And I feel like what we've done is we've sort of just lumped them together. They've become one thing. By this is our forgiveness. By the shedding of blood, there is the forgiveness of sin. Now, you and I know the connection between the communion feast, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, and Passover, don't you? We don't have time to go over this, but you know the Passover night that a lamb had to be selected. That lamb became the lamb for that family That lamb was brought into the home and for a number of days was cared for in the home. That spotless lamb without blemish was kept in the home. And then on that night, that lamb was slaughtered. That lamb was killed. The blood was collected and applied to the doorposts of the house. Because God had said, when I pass over you, when I pass through the land, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so it is a fantastic picture of what Jesus has done for us. When his blood is applied for us, then we escape eternal death because of his blood applied on our lives. And so we know that. In fact, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that Christ is our Passover lamb. And so there's no problem in making that connection that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7, I believe, it should show up there. We're doing a little something different this morning. I'm not in control of the buttons. So I told Janice, you got to pay attention. But that's not the verse. There we go. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. But what else did they do on that Passover night? They roasted that lamb and they ate it. When they had their bags packed and ready to go, they ate that Passover lamb together, and then that gave them strength for the journey that they were then that night left Egypt, the great exodus of some 2.5 million people left Egypt. You ever thought about what's the significance of that? The blood had to be applied, but also the lamb had to be eaten. So those are just some of the questions that I have. And if you just think about it for a minute, that family would have to take a lamb out of the herd, or flock, I guess the word is. They would take a lamb. It would be selected because it was pure, and it would become the lamb. But then you think about, and who wouldn't love a lamb? You know, how do you not love a lamb? You bring that lamb into your home, and it lives with you for a week. You get attached to it. So then a lamb becomes the lamb, and the lamb becomes your lamb. And then your lamb becomes your substitute, your sacrifice. And it dies in your place. That'd be a little rough. But it's personal. So then there's this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29. It says this, it's been up a few times. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. And so 1 Corinthians 11 is probably the chapter that talks the most about communion. The Apostle Paul talks about it. And there's a bigger context there that you'll have to read, but that verse says that we must discern the body of Christ. What does it mean to discern the body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the previous chapter, and verse 16, it says this. Paul is talking about this love feast. And he is saying, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, one translation says, the cup of blessing for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? Some translations say a communion in the blood of Christ. That's why it's called communion, because we are one in union with the one that we are remembering. And so he says, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? In other words, it's not just saying thank you for that, it's a participation in it. And then he says, and is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? So one of the things that's sort of being stirred in me is that there's maybe something more to it than that this is just symbolic. But this is an act where by faith we are participating in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. In other words, all that is his is ours. All that happened to him happened to us. All that he has done is now ours because we participate in it with him. And perhaps that is what it means to discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. See, we understand the blood. I think it's the body that we have a harder time sort of seeing where it fits. Like, what does that mean? To do this in remembrance of him, to give thanks for the blood is easy for us because there are verses in Scripture that are, you know, Colossians 1 and verse 14 is one of them that says that we, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So it's very clear that by the shed blood of Jesus, we have redemption. We have been redeemed. We have the remission of our sins because of the shed blood of Jesus. So it's easy for us to see where that fits. You know, the whole deal with Passover and the whole deal with what we saw happen at the cross and what God has said that would be required for sin, that blood would have to be shed. And Peter says that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the incorruptible, precious blood of Christ. So the blood is for our redemption. I would suggest, though, that the body is for something too. Again, we're only scratching the surface, but a Greek word for the Greek word for salvation is sozo, which is the full expression of salvation. It simply means this: all of the things that are in the atonement, all of the things that are a part of our salvation. It's not just the redemption of our sins, or pardon me, the redemption of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins. It is even much more than that. And it even includes a healing for our bodies. It is a part of the full salvation that is bought, purchased, paid for by Jesus. We don't have time to go into it all. Well, maybe we'll develop this as we sort of learn more about it. But when a Greek woman came to Jesus for her daughter's healing, Jesus said to her, you know, that's the children's bread. You are not a Jew. This is something I've come for the Jewish people. And I shouldn't give you the children's bread. And she said, but even, Lord, a crumb is good enough for me. And so her faith activates something in Jesus. And he says, your daughter is made whole. There is something about bread that is for healing. The children's bread is the healing for God's children, for God's people. Jesus' body meant healing. When he touched someone, they were made whole. Even the hem of his garment, when it was touched, healing virtue went out of him, it says, and that woman was healed who had been seeing doctors and had a condition for some 12 years. So what I'm saying, what I'm feeling, learning, I don't know, is that maybe we've missed something, that there is some more value in what we do than just saying, remember, give thanks for the blood. That perhaps that's something we're missing. I mean, we're always learning, right? We should always be learning. We shouldn't get to the point where we say, well, I understand the Bible. I know it all. I've got it all figured out. You're dead and alive again, right, in heaven. And so I wonder if, and I want to say this clearly, under the covenant that we live in, under with God, this new covenant, it is not a transactional covenant, it is a relational covenant. Yet transactional covenant, you know what that is? That means that if I do this, then you will do that. If I give, you'll bless me, you'll prosper me. That's transactional. If I pray, you will, you know, you'll give me a pretty wife and skinny and straight teeth and all the rest of it. You know, like, transactional means I do this, God, then you are required to do this. It's a formulaic kind of a thing. That's not how the new covenant works. It's all relational. And so I don't want us to sort of think this is some sort of magic pill that, you know, we do this and it's because we're doing it, we get what we're asking for. It's not that. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of, by faith, participating, identifying with Jesus. And so, by faith, we share in that body and blood of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 26. And verse 26 says this. No, I didn't give you that one. What's the next one? Isaiah 53. Yes. Thank you for keeping me on track. Isaiah 53 says this. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his blood we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. We don't have time to explain that, but the back of the Lord Jesus was one huge stripe of torturous laceration. By his stripes. Singular even, the Greek really says, by his stripe we are healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, New Testament now, says basically the same thing, that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now we go to Matthew chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And that's where we all get sort of bent out of shape, whether we go to one extreme or the other. But I think that from the scriptures that we've learned, that we are participating in the body of Christ. And in that body, by his stripes, we are healed. If we were to go back and look at 1 Corinthians 11, it says that, and I want to say this again, please, I'm not just shooting from the hip, but I'm sharing what is, I believe, present going on inside of me. But 1 Corinthians 11 says this, that when you don't discern the body properly, when we are in an unworthy manner taking from this table, Paul said to the Corinthian church that some of you are sick and some of you are asleep before your time. That's not dozing off in church. That's dying. So there is an importance to this. That does not mean that if I'm sick, it means that I'm guilty of misinterpreting the Lord's Supper. It's not that. It's not there's never a guilt attached to it. It's not that well, I've done, what have I done to deserve this? Sometimes we ask that question. That's not the issue. It's, remember, relational, not transactional. It's by faith that we participate in this. But I wonder if there is something missing in our lives because we fail to discern the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. That it is there for us, for our healing and for our redemption, for our forgiveness and for our life. Why would we be encouraged to do it? Do you know that the early church did it daily and from house to house? And I've heard too many stories. I've come across too many people who have taken up the practice of daily communion and found that it has brought healing to their lives, to discard that. And so I want us to take this seriously. I want us to not do this as a ritual or a routine. I want us to discern the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to even ask those that are serving the communion to come up and distribute the emblems right now. I'll just keep talking a little bit. And then I want you to, and if you're going to participate with us in this, to take the emblem and hold it in your hand, if you would, the bread and the cup. So please just, as it's passed down the row, take it, share it with the next person. So Matthew 26:26 said, "This is my body." The next verse, verse 27, says then, the next thing that he did was he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." So the body is for you. The blood is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And then 1 Corinthians 11 and 26 says this, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Who do you proclaim it to? The word there is preach. You preach a sermon. You preach the Lord's death when you do this? Well, Colossians chapter 2 says that something happened at the cross that we don't see. And this is it. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus, by his death on the cross, publicly disarmed the devil and all of his forces by defeating them by death at the cross. And he made a public show of them. It was an unseen in the spiritual realm, but there was the triumph over them at the cross. When you take communion and you hold in your hands those two emblems, you are preaching that sermon to all who see, seen and unseen, that they are defeated. The forces against God are truly defeated. Victory is mine because of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. You are proclaiming that. Jesus wins. Jesus is my health. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my future. He is my life. And we take these things and we share in them. And so by faith, we're entering in to the suffering of Jesus, the body and the blood of Jesus on our behalf, not just remembering him, but absolutely remembering him. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." As we remember what he has done, we take these emblems. And so I want you to discern this morning with me as best you can, as we sort of on this journey together try to figure out the power of communion, of the Lord's table. What is it? It's a love feast, the Bible calls it. So as you hold those emblems in your hand, and we're about to, in a few minutes, take them in, we're saying, by faith, we have taken in all that is purchased for us by the body and the blood of Jesus. And so, we're going to just take a minute to do that. I want you to take that little piece of cracker. And so I want you to take that little piece of cracker and I want you to hold it up. And we're going to thank the Lord for his body. And we're going to specifically this morning say thank you that by your stripes in your body, I am healed. And so you might have a particular condition or disease that you're holding up that you say, I thank you that you've already paid the price for that disease, that condition, that limitation in my body. I participate now, Lord Jesus, in your body. No sickness, no disease in your body. And by your stripes, I am healed. And so you name it, you hold it up and you say, by your stripes, this, name it, is healed in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can discern the body of the Lord Jesus and participate in that. In that body is our healing. We thank you. Thank you that it was willing to be broken for us so that we could be made whole. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to hold the blood up. Hold up the cup. Do you know that when the Passover family, when the family would take the blood from that lamb and apply it to the doorposts of their house, I am not totally convinced that every member of every family inside every home that had the blood over it was a full of faith person. I'm sure there would be some children, perhaps, that were a little doubtful when they heard what was, especially the firstborn, he'd be a little extra nervous. Right? Dad, did you put that blood right? Dad, are you sure you heard it right? That the blood had to be over the doorposts? And did you do it right? See, he would be sort of invested in that. But I'm sure that there were family members that were not full of faith, but it didn't matter as long as they were under the blood. So it's not a question of how much faith do you have, it's are you under the blood? Even the person who had weak faith, if they were in the house that had blood applied, safe. If you have weak faith, it's not about how strong your faith is, it's about what your faith is in. Is your faith in the blood of Jesus? Is that what will cause the Passover angel, the death angel, to miss you? It is. And so we have redemption. We've been bought, purchased, rescued. The Bible says, by the blood of Jesus. And so we say thank you for the remission of our sins. And we participate. We take that blood and apply it to our lives as we say thank you for that forgiveness. Jesus said, take and drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance. One of the common misconceptions that's been promoted down through, I'll let you guys go up and lead us in a closing song. How's that? One of the common misconceptions that has been promoted by the people in charge, which is usually how it goes, is that communion can only be celebrated if you have an official, professional person, whether it's a priest or a pastor. It can only be celebrated on certain days or in certain places. All of those are untruths. Communion is not something that is reserved for the clergy and distributed at their discernment. It is something that is given to the body of Christ. And so it is not wrong for you as a family to have communion together. It is not wrong for you as a couple to have communion together. For as often as you do this, you show forth the Lord's death till he come. How often do you need it? How often do you feel like you need it? That's as often as you should do it. And so I want to release you if you need that. I don't think you do. But I want to give you permission to have communion on your own, with your family, anytime, any place, as you feel the need to participate in that supper, that Lord's supper, that feast. You have freedom to do it. And perhaps it's something that you've been missing in your life as well. So there, for what it's worth, I've just shot my entire ammo load so far on communion. More to come. Let's stand. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate your goodness in our lives. Mindful at the same time of what great cost it came to you. Lord, we don't want to miss any of what you've purchased, paid for us. And so lead us and teach us and help us as we seek to discover everything that's in the package called salvation. As we seek to not just learn about it, but to apply it in our lives. And we celebrate your goodness and your grace to us today and every day. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us a family, that we grow together. Thank you that you're doing some great things in our midst. Lord, we just lift up those that are sick today. Thank you for the body that's broken for us. And so we apply that healing that's in the body of Jesus. We say yes to that. For Leona, for Hector, for Kim, and for any others, Lord, that have any conditions that are afflicting them right now, we thank you that you bore our afflictions and that by your stripes we are healed. May our faith be pressed into that as we discern your body for us in these days going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. The cool thing about the Passover, didn't mention this, but is that it was a family thing. Your family was protected when you applied the blood as the father over that doorpost of the house. When you're taking communion, when you're praying, when you're praying for your family, and I know that all of us have family members that we want to see God move powerfully in their lives, right? Let's remember to pray for them when we're taking communion. That was something I hadn't meant to say, but it's part of it, that we lift up those people. And we say, Lord, may this be, applied to my family. May every one of my family be brought under the covering, into the protection that is offered by the sacrifice of Jesus. So yes, we give God praise and thanks as we continue to pray. Amen.